Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Fuck coin tail bro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general. King Khalid Muhammad, we gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Fuck coins, hell bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
I'm always ready to take a life again. You know I'll ride again.
fight the world, I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life a living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bump the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
To my thugs and gangsters, it's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the one that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us. I say, Lord, twist and step, rip and come for the devil. Black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We was taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack, stack. Black pride, one nation, strong and black. That's what's down, see that job that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't hard as it seems. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' free our people by enemies next. Kiss a lot of Queen Omega showed us that we're royalty. And garments like the bread and bars are both to set us free. When I see
noise, what's a step, rip and come to the devil. You can see you pass the lies, you got lies with yourself. You're the king, you're the queen, you're the people, you're the rock. Tell the fire, start a
they bring guns, they bring dope, alcohol to the hood. They want you to sell dope, kill and rob for your food. But they ain't bring no jobs, so people dying for the food. It's Operation Us and we gon' operate on us.
When I say march, you say step, rep and come to the devil. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. You's a king, you's a queen, to your people you's a savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
Here we are. Here we are. Yeah. This one right here is for the people.
Bye.
dummies. Can't read the language of Egyptian mummies. On a flag or a moon. And can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth. Cause it's not like the future depends on it. But there's the animals in the zoo. Cause the chimpanzee, them a make big money. This is how the media pillages. On TV, the picture is. Savages in the villages. And the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids. Stereotyping the image of the images. And this is what the image is. You buy a khaki pants and all of a sudden you are there in Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clown. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Shabali. Patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering the world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes. It gets no realer.
We born not knowing. Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser. Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again everybody would have stopped law. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to seek of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Galas teach in universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose start running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive? It's all ours now.
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. We patient. For now, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. What? Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson. Watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders. Make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, 10-7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Damn. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Shabali. Patience. Yeah.
Power, black power, black power family. You're live here tonight on New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Press the number 1. To go live tonight, on the People's Broadcast, the People's Radio, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Visit our national website, mbpp.org, here on day 436 tonight, as we always do on our regular Thursday night broadcast. This our Pan-African broadcast. We will discuss tonight the legacy of African nationhood and our humanitarian efforts to regain our independence, as we are joined here tonight by our Thursday night Pan-African Report co-host, Brother Eugene Toffler, ETC Logistics, the New African Network. We'll also be joined here tonight by Brother Ronald Pennycoat, chairman and former international president of the Ethiopian World Federation, who will have Brother Eugene introduce. So I want to get a mic check from Brother Eugene, if we can get a mic check from our national chairwoman, and we're going to get on with this broadcast. Can you hear me, Brother Eugene? Can you hear me, Sister Crystal?
Black Power, Black Power, coming in live and clear.
Black Power, Black Power, mic check, mic check. Yes, Black
mic
Power,
check,
we want
Black
to thank,
Power.
We want to thank our special guest, Brother Eugene and Brother Ron, has some very important information. We want everybody to get your pen and paper. Tonight's show, this Thursday night, is very key to our Pan-African movement. Not only does Brother Eugene represent the diaspora of the African Union, he is also a businessman with ETC Logistics, coming out of the Carolinas. Our brother has some very powerful information. He brought a very extra special guest tonight. This information that we're getting ready to plug you into may change your life tonight. May change your life tonight. It's going to have you thinking about not only how, but most importantly, when, and the mechanisms and this opportunity to not only get to the motherland, but he's going to lay out the historical precedent that this is rooted upon. They will. So, Brother Katsip, go ahead and do your intro. I just want to give everybody their instructions. Get your pen and paper ready. Don't be trying to type all this into your phone. Go get an actual piece of paper and an actual pen and take notes tonight. And as we open up the phone lines, we want to hear your participation. Black Power, Brother Katsip.
Black Power, you live here on New Black Panther Party Radio. We want to say thank you to Brother Eugene, because now for almost 500 days, we have been bringing this Pan-African report, this business report. So I want to allow for Brother Eugene to lay the floor for our topic tonight and introduce our extra, extra special guest. I yield the floor to Brother Eugene, Black Power.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Sadiq. Black, Black Power to all our brothers and sisters out there in the Afro-diaspora. I'm your host tonight, Brother Eugene Telfer, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. This is the New Black Panther Party, New African Network, Thursday night business broadcast, and I hope everyone is having a great time and day or evening, wherever you may be yet around the world. Peace and blessings go out to our dear brother, Brother Sharif, and just want to let you know, brother, there are many brothers and sisters that are here for you, brother, to lean on. We have your back and your shoulder, brother. So definitely reach out to anyone you feel, any one of us who you feel necessary, even just to have a conversation, brother. So peace and blessings.
That's right. That's right. And we want to thank you, Brother Eugene. Not only is Brother Eugene hosting our regular Thursday night Pan-African Report, but the first days that we hit the ground, Brother Eugene came down and put boots on the ground to help in our search efforts. And so we do thank you for that. So not only is this brother about the business, and not only is he bringing us the connection that we need in Africa, but here on the ground in this plantation, he was involved in a very intricate effort, as you all know, that we went through as an organization. So we would be sure to pass the message to Brother Sharif, but we want to also thank you, Brother Eugene, for coming on the ground and helping us as well. Black Power.
Black Power, Sister Crystal. You know, that's what we're supposed to do as an African nation, as we are uniting to become as one, all of us African people from around the world, we are beginning to get on code. And that was something that we talked about several weeks ago. We talked about business etiquettes, and we also talked a little bit about codes of conduct and being on code with one another so that we can be organized to get things accomplished. And so I'm not going to galley too much about that tonight, but definitely we're going to get into this night's broadcast. And special shout out to the Zulu Nation. The Zulu Nation, as you know, just recently lost a queen, Queen Mantefumbi Dalanimi, Zulu Queen, and she was the wife of King Goodwill, as we all know, to be in the Zulu Nation. And so hopefully they'll be getting a successor in at some point in time. And I believe one of the nephews or one of the sons of Goodwill may be taking the throne shortly here. Also, one of the other sons just recently was shot and killed while he was in Hawaii by Babylon, and that was another sad situation. So all within a six-month time period, there were three royal people who were killed from the Zulu Nation, which seems to be very odd and strange for all this to take place within the nation of South Africa. Also, we want to give a big shout out to the Haitian nation. This is Haitian Heritage Month, and so there are going to be lots of celebrating in the Haitian community, and especially on the island of Haiti. Haiti is an Afro nation and one of the first countries to liberate black people during the first revolution, the American Revolution. And so we want to give a big up to our brothers and sisters. We ask that you stay strong. And as an African nation, we will be singing praise and blessings to you all, brothers and sisters, in the nation of Haiti. This is also Mental Health Awareness Month. So, you know, many of the things that we experience in our communities, and especially during times of COVID and things that are happening to the unconscious nature of black people, affecting black people, and especially domestic violence. And one of the things that we must recognize that comes with domestic violence is sometimes mental health issues that may be going on and unaware of in our community. So for those of you brothers and sisters, reach out to someone if you need help. If you need even just to talk with someone, you can always contact the New Black Panther Party organization or the New Africa Network and just tell someone about that you need some help and want to get assistance towards that. So a big up to you all who are recognizing Mental Health Awareness Month. Also, a big happy Eid Mubarak for our Muslim brothers and sisters. I know this has been a very exciting month for everyone, and especially with 6 o'clock just passing in most places, the fasting has stopped. And many of you guys are getting your Munch Monster on, and I'm just trying to tell you, slow down on that table now. But anyway, we want to give a big shout-out for the celebration of Eid Mubarak, and assalamu alaikum to our Muslim brothers and sisters out there. Okay, so right now we have a very exciting guest coming on. This gentleman, his name is Brother Ronald Pennycook. And he is the former president of the Ethiopian World Federation and is now the chair and is going to be coming on tonight to speak a little bit about a land that was given to the Afro diaspora by Emperor Selassie. And Brother Pennycook is very knowledgeable of the history of the Ethiopian constitutions that have been put into place This was because many of our brothers and sisters here in the United States during the course of World War I and World War II had volunteered to go over to fight in the Battle of Edouard, and also during the second invasion with Mussolini during World War II, volunteered their lives to go over to Africa to make sure that Ethiopia was never to be conquered by any nation other than that. And so tonight we want to welcome Brother Penny Cook. Brother Penny Cook, are you there this evening, brother? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, Brother Penny Cook, to the New Africa Black Panther Party Thursday night business broadcast. And Brother Penny Cook, we've actually talked about you on our program a few different occasions, and I had explained to many of our brothers and sisters who are interested in looking at a more visual opportunity for them to be able to go and move to Africa as a exodus, or perhaps even looking at Africa as another alternative place to be able to set up shop, to live, work, and play. Brother Penny Cook, can you tell us a little bit about who you are as a person? And we'll get into a little bit more dialogue into telling us a little bit about Shashamani of Ethiopia. Go ahead, brother. I yield the mic to you. Black power.
Okay, my brother. Black power to you. And
Black power, brother.
Brothers and sisters who are with us. Black power to everyone. Yes, I. Well, me, my name is Ronald Penny Cook. You know, I was born into a Christian family in Kingston, Jamaica. And then all the family immigrated to the United States when I was 15 years old. And I've lived in New York ever since then. So how many years is that? 55, 56 years? Right. So when I came to New York, I was a Christian, right? I didn't know anything about what I know now. But as time went on, I started to find out more about my Ethiopian heritage, and I embraced it fully, all right? So that's just a little about me, right? I've done a lot of stuff, you know. I've run a restaurant. You know, I've sold vegetables. I have worked in a bank. And the last job I had was a tax preparer for H&R Block, who I worked for the last 10 years of my working life, and then I retired. So now I'm retired, and I do volunteer work for an international charity, which is the Ethiopian World Federation. Now, that's four words. Five words? The Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. Five words. Okay. So we're going to look at Ethiopian. What does that mean? The dictionary says a Negro. Right? That's what the dictionary says. Ethiopian, a Negro. Okay, we will accept that for the time being. So Ethiopian means all black people. World means all around the world. Federation means working together in autonomous groups as a league, and then the league will have the authority to speak on behalf of the race. All right. So that's what now our black American geniuses, right, from Harlem at the start of World War II, promulgated, published, distributed for us, and I have a copy here with me right now. And when you open it, the first thing that you come up on name preamble, right? I have to put on my glasses. I want to read the preamble. Okay. We, the black peoples of the world, in order to effect unity, solidarity, liberty, freedom, and self-determination, to secure justice and maintain the integrity of Ethiopia, which is our divine heritage do hereby establish and ordain this constitution for the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. That's the preamble. It starts off by saying we, the black peoples of the world, and then it ends by saying collectively we are called the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. All right, so that's what our Black American Geniuses published at the start of World War II when they told the Emperor of Ethiopia that they would like to help defend Ethiopia's integrity that was threatened at the time by European colonialism called fascism out of Rome, and they were, let us say, endeavoring to take over Ethiopia so that black people around the world, especially in Harlem, they rose up like never before and never since. Black people all around the world recognize Ethiopia as very important, and we all have to get involved so that the black Americans were successful in sending a delegation to England to speak with the Majesty and then now tell him that we would like to help. So he said, okay, organize the race, use a constitution to organize the race, and then now get to work. So that was the summit conference that they had. Black Americans left America, went to Europe to meet with the Ethiopian government in exile, and at that summit conference, they decided that a democratic constitution was needed for the black race, and then now black Americans were given the responsibility to publish it, put the headquarters in Harlem, New York, and have the international president of the black race reside in New York City. All that is in the book, right? And the reason why black Americans were chosen by Africa to lead the race is simple, because black Americans are qualified. It's not a mystery, okay? So this job started in 1937, and it is still going on today. Now, after the war in 1945, Ethiopia did something marvelous. They attached to the Constitution land rights for we, the black peoples of the world, 25 acres per family. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's genius. Black Americans published the document to unify us, and then Africa embraced it and attached land rights to it. Wow. So that's what I came to America and found out about. And I'm telling you, I get goosebumps every time I think about it. Yeah, the privilege that I have to be telling you about it. Because truly, you know, yeah, my accent really kind of out of place. I shouldn't be the one to be telling you about this. But it just so happens that there's a history that's involved, and colonial powers, they don't rest. They use every means at their disposal to prevent our unity. So there's a story.
Your accent is fine, brother. We love your accent.
Yes, sis. So what I'm saying then now, you know, is that this great organization started in Harlem. And then now, I'm going to tell you quickly what happened. The Queen of England sent in our lodge men to take over the Federation and operate it as a secret society and try and dissolve it so that black people won't know anything about it. Now, she succeeded in having the lodge men take over like what you would call the second generation. The first generation set it, and then the second generation carrying it on were lodge men. And then now they were instructed to run it as a secret society so that their own children wouldn't know anything about it. Consequently, most black Americans today know nothing about what we are talking about, simply because it was planned that way. And they executed their plan, and they did a marvelous job, yes. But they couldn't stop it, right? So now that we found out about it and did what we needed to do to put it back on the books, everything is in place for us to send a delegation of scientists to Africa to do a model project in Africa where we, the diaspora, will be working very closely with our brothers and sisters at home on the continent on this project. And this project is to demonstrate that eradicating poverty in the black community is not difficult. So that's what we have, a model project in Africa approved by the governments in Africa, Ethiopia as well as the Africa Union, they have approved it, a model project. All we need now is to take our scientists there. The project is called the Million Family Project. Right, and I must tell you that was inspired by the Million Man March that the Nation of Islam organized in Washington way back when. Yes, that still has a ringing effect, so that when we were ready now to present our plan to the government of Ethiopia, we were inspired by that march to present the Million Family Plan to the Ethiopian government, and I say they have accepted it. So really and truly, you know, we need to bring our black American notables, celebrities, to the conference table so that we can enjoy this discussion, because it's all good news. It's unbelievable, but it's true, and it's all good news, because that 25 acres in Africa does not require us to leave anywhere to go and get it. No, you can sign in and get it, and you can never go and visit it, but it will be yours, protected, and then now you can send people there, and right? What I'm saying, then, you don't have to give up anything to get that. No. Keep what you have, get more. But don't forget to go and claim what is rightfully yours. That's all I'm saying. So it's there for all of us, but we have to demonstrate that we are able to deal with it by coming with the management program to represent development for the continent by the diaspora working closely with our brothers and sisters at home. This is a total picture for all black people. It belongs to us whether we know it or not. And we who know and are about helping, it's our duty to represent the good intentions of the black race in everything that we do. So even where we are today, to commission the team of scientists, there are things that we need to discuss as a family, because this is a family effort. Not an individual thing. It's a democratic thing where, well, we could say committees, necessary committees are put in place to achieve certain tasks, and then those committees are operated democratically by having good records and financial records as well as records of the dealings of the committee. So we know what to do, right? But what we need to do is come and have a family discussion around these two gifts that are given to us, a constitution from Harlem and land rights in Africa. You don't have to give up anything in the West to go and get it. Keep what you have, get more if you can, but don't forget to go and claim what is yours. It's 25 acres. So that is the project now. We have the model to show the continent how it works and everything, the details of it. But it's so much, you know, it's just so much I can say at one time. But I will pause for the moment to see if there are any questions.
Yes, sir, I do have a question. So let me be clear. Are these 25 acres only for those people who can go to Ethiopia that are scientists?
No, it's for all black families, from the high to the low. Everyone is equal. All of us, in the eyes of God, are equal. So that this program that is given to us is really sharing the continent equally among black people. Yes. It's a genius
together. Is that two different? Is that two different things that you're talking about then? Are you talking about there is land available that available to all African people, but also that there's an additional endeavor that involves sciences? Are those two different things?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, we, the diaspora, we, the grassroots, we, black people, are endeavoring to take a team of scientists with us to Africa. Why? because Africa needs tender loving care, what is called redevelopment, so that it will attract resettlement. Unless Africa is redeveloped, it will fail to attract most black people, because most black people are suffering the pangs of poverty, and they don't want to go and then continue in that way without any hope of it getting any better. So that we then now have to be the pioneers who recognize that and then now step up to the challenge and have the scientists come with us so that we can plan the community and consult with the people in the community as to what is their idea for development in their community. So from that point of view, we will be discussing with the people what they would like to do, and then we are their helpers. We have come to help them do what it is they would like to do. So basically, that's what our scientists are there for, to come and help us, help the people achieve their desire. And we know that their desire starts with water, electric, and transportation road network. That basically is needed any and everywhere. So that will be our focus in this Million Family Project, to set the infrastructure in place to support the million families in and around the land grant, because the land grant was specifically 500 acres and a clause that says more is available when it is utilized. So that means that if we recognize what it is, it's an invitation to come and sit with our brothers and sisters to discuss in common the problems and then propose solutions in common. That's what we have done, and we have met with a very good reception from our brothers and sisters at home who have recognized that we want to help them, not exploit them.
Right. So what I'm trying to get to make sure that our terminology is correct, because when you are saying scientists, it seems like that's one particular genre, and you'll be stuck in the same predicament as having lodgemen, because scientists include a very a segment that would, for most part, be a sort of an elitist segment when you have a lot of working class people who have other skills and professions that can be brought towards development. People who are into construction, people who are into development, people who are into medicine, people who are into engineering. There are so many talents and skill sets that people have, but with the confusion on my part, it would seem as if it was a specific request for scientists specifically. But based on what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, we need all skill sets that would come up with a scientific plan, and which would include different genres of professions and skill sets. Is that correct?
For sure. Exactly correct. All professions are welcome. All skill sets are needed. So we have to sit together and then now plan how to achieve it step by step. So that's where we are now with this model given to us, the diaspora, for us to demonstrate to the continent how working together, the diaspora and the continent, can achieve great results. So that is what we have. Now, the scientists are specific, right? In the Bible, Moses is called the master builder, all right? If you go to college today and you say you want to be a master builder, they call it urban planner, all right? So that our delegation of scientists is headed by an urban planner, a master builder. And then now, on that team of scientists is an architect, a civil engineer, an environmentalist, and a social scientist, five of them, right? The urban planner, the architect, and the civil engineer, they basically going to identify where the water is going to come from for the million families, where the electric is going to come from for the million families, what kind of road and transportation network is required for the million families. So that is like what they will be tasked with, to identify where those things are coming from and then design it so that we understand what it would look like once it is completed and then now present it to us. So that is what we will be saying to the scientists. We want to put in the infrastructure for the million families because once the infrastructure is in place, then the community can blossom. You have black people who don't need any help. They are economically self-sufficient, so they can help themselves build their own house, invest in their own business, build their own factories, do the things that are required, and it's going to make money. These things are money-making ventures. So once the infrastructure is in place, meaning water, light, and road, then now the community is going to start to blossom because the people, a lot of them can help themselves. Some can help themselves by, let us say, affording a mortgage because they have a regular income so that they can service a mortgage. We have people like that. And then now you have the third group, which is poor people who don't have any resources. Now, they are entitled to a grant. They get their things given to them as a grant. But accompanying the grant is training, technical training, for them to learn how to maintain what they have, keep it solvent so that they never go bankrupt, so that there is skill training that is offered for those who are given it as a grant because of their, let us say, economic situation, right? So once we put in the infrastructure, the community is going to blossom, and we can transform the continent of Africa in a modest amount of time, 10 years, working all across the continent simultaneously, because we have enough trained professionals to do it, but what we need is resources, financial as well as human. We have the human resources abundantly, but we need to identify where the economic resources is going to come from. And that now can be achieved by our unity. The Constitution from Harlem is given to us to organize we, the black peoples of the world. Now, black people speak a lot of different languages. We have a lot of different cultures. We even have a lot of different religions. So to some people, it is impossible to organize all black people into one, but they don't know what they are talking about. It is not only possible, it is needed. So what we have to do is look at how our foreparents, the geniuses who gave this to us, how did they do it? What were the mechanisms that they used to achieve it and succeeded to the point where they were given land as thanks for the help, right? So that's what we need, a family conference to look at the details, because we're just going to be just scratching the surface tonight, because that's the amount of information that's there, and it needs to be shared because it belongs to all of us, yes. So, yes, it's a model project to demonstrate how to share up the land. We, the diaspora, has been given that responsibility, and the government of Ethiopia has agreed to really, let us say, allow us to develop this plan to show what it is we are talking about. So it is simple. Every family is to get their own home and garden on 1 hectare of land. Now, each family is given 10 hectares. That's 25 acres. 10 hectares. 1 hectare is 2.5 acres. So we are instructed to use 1 of the 10 for our house and garden, and then we can collectively decide what to do with the other 9. So that is how we will rid Africa of poverty, giving every family their house surrounded by a garden designed to feed the occupants of the house, and then there will be no more poverty. And in addition to that, they have 9 other hectares to go and invest in the commercial, however they want to do it to make money. That's what it is there for. All right. And then on top of that, skill training is offered. From PhD come down, everything is offered. We encourage our people to learn, become scientists, become inventors, great musicians, great artists. Whatever you desire, we plan to make institutions in the community that help you. You want to learn music? There's a music school there for you to go and learn. You want to learn medicine? There's a medical department there that you can go and learn. Anything that you want to learn, you can learn. That is what we are planning, because we are the diaspora who have been exposed to everything, so nothing is a surprise to us. So it's up to us now to use the best of what we have been exposed to help create our idea of beautiful communities where there is no poverty. And because there is no poverty, there is almost no crime. Crime is non-existent. So all that is given to us, and we need to sit together as a family to discuss it, because we're still at the starting point. It hasn't started as yet, but we are putting everything in place to start right away. In other words, the paperwork that's necessary, the plan, the government approval, all those things are necessary, and they have been achieved. So now it's time for our family to come and sit together, understand what has been done, understand where we are, and understand what is needed to move us to the next level.
Well, you know, brother, go ahead, sis. It's so amazing.
I want to say quickly, you know, when I'm 49, but when I was a child, there was a concerted effort. I would, you know, when we were small, they don't do it now, but when we were children, every time you would turn on the TV, they would show glimpses of Ethiopia as if it was so impoverished and a desert, you know. But then I met some folks from Ethiopia who told me how beautiful it was. So not only did the Queen of England, but the United States government did a heck of a propaganda job to try to discourage us from Ethiopia, whereas this brother is showing that this has been available us to the since the 40s. And there's been race traders amongst us who tried to keep us away from this. And we're so grateful that you brought this to us. But go ahead, Brother Eugene, Black Power.
Yeah, Black Power, sister. You know, yeah, such powerful words from you, Brother Penny Cook. And we appreciate you coming on tonight's program and sharing your knowledge and your wisdom about this. And you speak of centralized black people becoming centralizing their economic assets as a race of people, also serving as an incentive for fully organizing the race. With this constitution that was presented on behalf of Emperor Selassie, how do you see us right now moving forward as a people to get more people united? And I say this too, for one, that you know, for the last couple of years, since the Year of Abode, presented by President Abdu of Ghana, many of the African nations now are opening up its doors and opportunities for African people all throughout the diaspora to look at the office of relocating back to Africa as a part of the Black Sick or Exodus movement, exiting from the Babylonian nations in which we've been mistreated for so many centuries, and thus looking at the new promised land, which is sort of similar to what's been prophesied in both the Bible and the Quran. Tell us, how do you see us getting more connected into and more in tune into the constitution that's being brought forth by the Ethiopian World Federation?
Okay. I'm glad you asked me that question. Now, our foreparents, I'm going to tell you what they did. They put a board of advisors together to run the Federation as a corporation, similar to Amazon or Facebook or Google, any major corporation. The Ethiopian World Federation is of that nature, and it needs to be operated in that nature. So our foreparents in the beginning, that's what they did. They put in place a board of directors who were charged with putting the day-to-day operation of the organization into, let us say, paper instruction, so that the people, when they come, they will be instructed as to what to do and how to do it, so that they can continue to learn and become proficient at what they are doing very quickly, because there is information there for them to help them learn. All right. So we still can do that today. A board of advisors. Why? Because there are 14 departments in the Constitution. The first department is banking. So the Constitution is telling us that if black people is going to truly unite, our first priority is banking. All right, the Constitution tells us that. So what we need to do is identify the 14 departments in the Constitution. All right, I don't have it open in front of me, but I'm going to try if I can remember them as I go along. The first one is banking. The second one is membership. Membership is usually public relations. The third one, education. Education is usually for teachers. And then now publicity. Publicity is usually for newspaper, television, and movie producers. All right. Sikh committee. All right. So that we have to recognize that the Sikh must be given priority in what we do, and we must put in place the things to help our Sikh brothers and sisters. All right. And then now it has no ways and means. What is that? That is entrepreneurs, people who out of nothing create something of value. All right. Entrepreneurs. All right. So that is ways and means. And then now you have now auditing. What is that? That is like a committee now that is given the responsibility to audit all transactions that happen and identify any misappropriation of funds so that we can identify if anyone is to be held liable for that, right? So this is serious business. So one of the committees is an auditing committee so that those people must be experts at bookkeeping and all accounting so that no trickery can escape them. They know how to look for it and they know how to find it, all right? And then now you have complaints and grievance. What is that? That is a judge. That is lawyers. That's a court, our own court. We are given the responsibility as a community to do that. And law is on our side. It's in the law. All right. And then now you have other committees now. House committee, given the responsibility to identify and obtain property for each local. So each branch of the Federation is encouraged to own them own real estate. And they are given a committee called House Committee and charged with the responsibility of identifying such a place and acquiring it as soon as possible. So in other words, I just tried to name out the different departments that the Constitution is telling us about: banking, education, publicity, Sikh, ways and means, auditing, information, all of those things.
Is agriculture.
Say that again.
Agriculture.
Education. When you look at education, agricultural mm-hmm. material is prominent in what that committee is designed to fulfill. Yes, it's agriculture is big in it. Yes. Right? So what I'm saying then now, these advisors would be the 10 professionals who know each department, like a banker for the banking, a teacher for the education, a TV or a newspaper editor for the publicity. You would identify that these are professions and have the professionals come and sit on a board so that we can, let us say, truly appreciate what is given to us. Because what is given to us is how to organize black people around the world, no matter what religion they speak, they profess, no matter what language they speak. All right. So that part of it now, we can take care of that. The other part of it now, what they did was to have a black American woman who was a superstar in her own right serve as the international organizer. Her name was Mamie Richardson. She was a renowned opera singer, international celebrity. So when she now serves as the international organizer, black people all around the world know her, you know. And when she come to visit them, they turn out in the thousands, tens of thousands. So using that template, today, a black American woman who is an international celebrity in her own right, serving as the international organizer, would help to attract millions of black people to the role instantly if the message is told to them correctly. And you can just show them a picture of a beautiful house surrounded by a beautiful garden and say to them, this is yours. All it costs is 10 cents per week. And then now we go into the beauty of 10 cents. 1 billion 10 cents is $100 million. So the strength of our race is our unity. Built into our unity is an economy. And if we neglect our unity, is ourselves we are harming. So we then know who recognize that unity is very needed. We must look at how to achieve it. And our foreparents have told us how. Set out the paperwork and get an international organizer, what the people know, to go and deliver the good news to them so that they will sign up right away because they have nothing to lose. 10 cents per week is all that it is going to cost them. And for that 10 cents per week, they are guaranteed their own house and garden in Africa. And as I said, they don't have to leave anywhere to go get it. If they don't want to leave, they can stay and still get it. And once they understand that, then all of us can be working together to achieve it.
10 cents a week?
Imagine,
oh, my God.
Imagine the beauty of 10 cents per week. Yes.
So, brother, are there organizing meetings that are taking place here that we can come and have a meeting of the minds and be on the same page to be able to disseminate the information before we cross the globe?
Yes, sis. Yes, you know, and we can arrange that whenever you need to. Yes, there are ones who are actually operating in the office of the Ethiopian World Federation. You know, I don't operate in the office. I am a volunteer who is working for the office. So what we are doing is looking at what is going on right now, even in the Ethiopian World Federation, and what is needed to improve the situation. What is going on right now is that we poor people are in charge. We poor people were never trained how to represent black people at the highest levels of government and how to operate a billion-dollar corporation. We were not trained in those skills. So that is where we are now. We have the responsibility, but we lack, let us call, the ability, the know-how, the knowledge to do it at the highest level. So what is required is our black professionals coming to sit at the table with the grassroots and let us have a family discussion and collectively decide what is the best way to move forward. So you can consider it like this, sis. The organization has been dormant for many years. It has been revitalized recently and is in need of a corporate structure so that all black people can be confident in it. That is not that now, because poor people who are in charge of it right now, they don't have that skill and ability. I'm telling you the truth. I love them, you know, because I am one of them. But I also have to face reality. We need the professionals to come and give us a hand, and then with the right people, we can get this thing done within a month. We can have a billion black people on the books if we do it the right way. Because with technology today, it's more easy than it has ever been. Yeah, we have so many black American women who are international celebrities that getting one to say yes, she will accept the responsibility to organize the race. Wow, I can tell you. Many of them would say yes to that if they understood how to do it. It's not something that is just given to them willy-nilly, but it comes with instructions that they can learn and be very confident in presenting themselves to the people.
It would seem that we need people who are freedom fighters, because as we see in this country, the celebrities are used to docile the people when we have young people or people that are speaking out around injustice and dealing with the issues that are affecting our community. You have a lot of talent that are everyday people that we can also bring to the table that do a lot with little. But, you know, being in the movement for 30 years now, we look to entertainers, we look to celebrities many a times, and it's been far and few in between. So to find, it sounds like you said we just need the great talents to pull our resources together and work collectively, may be a stronger angle. In addition to, of course, if we find someone, that'll be ideal, but in the reparations movement and the fight for justice movement, finding those entertainers that would actually commit for a long term has been far few and in between. You've even had some athletes to take a stand for a week or so, but then they'd be right back to their corporate responsibilities. So it is definitely a great endeavor, but we may need to expand our expectations and, you know, like you said, use our African genius, the genius of those of us who are here in the diaspora who have the desire and who have shown the commitment to our race is going to be very key as well. It's going to be the key as well, because to be quite honest, the petty bourgeois do not stand for us on a long-term standing. So we are going to have to, you know, really get down and look at what it is that you are presenting and see how we could be of assistance and also hit the ground and actually be part of those people who would make it a reality, because people's hearts believe what they eyes see, you know. And if this has been available to us all of these years and it's been hidden, not only hidden from us, there has been so much propaganda to make us turn away from Ethiopia until those of us who came into consciousness learned about Haile Selassie and how Ethiopia was the only country to not be colonialized is so important. So what you're bringing to the table is not only groundbreaking, but it is our right, and it is a way for us to get back to the continent. So, brother, how would we, you said we should reach out to you, or how do we take this forward in a practical manner? What do you see us doing? First steps?
Yes.
What are some
Yes, you know, I will be a resource that you can utilize, right? And then we can use the technology that's available to have conferences and then now have different kind of meetings if we see that it is fruitful and has the possibility of being of a great help. Yes, we can do all of that. Yeah. You know, as I said to you, be confident. It's a legal organization. Everything is in place. You know, at the highest levels of government, we are negotiating with and getting, let us say, treated with respect, because we have done what was required of us. You know, as we go along, we will touch on it, you know. But as I'm saying, we are at a point right now where it is being operated like a mom-and-pop corporation. And mom-and-pop is not going to get it. It has to be the corporate standard where you record things and have your monthly reports, and then now you have your annual filings of your tax-appropriate documents with the government. It cannot be done any other way. So in order for us to arrive at that level, we need our professionals to come to the table, because those of us who are at the table presently lack those skills.
Black power, Brother Catcher.
Black power, yes, yes. Man, all of this is just so, and like Sister Crystal said, you know, it has been hidden, you know, and it kind of struck me, you know, when you talked about the, you know, the Queen of England and, you know, and how what the relevance is of Italy and the Vatican and Rome and the end of World War. These are topics and things that we discuss constantly in our political education, and it just seems like no matter what, you know, it always comes back to the fact that the European and these colonial devils, you know. But I do have specific questions, you know, what are some meetings, some conferences, some meetings, things that we could get involved in presently, you know, kind of on along the same line as Sister Crystal is saying. But another question that I have, if I can ask two questions, and Sister Crystal kind of alluded to it, you know, one of the things that we believe in developing Black Power and the new Black Panther Party is not only defining and developing, as we talk about Black nationhood and African nationhood, but also defense, you know. So what are some of the points of concern and things that we need to look at for the defense of the military objectives of this project as well, Black Power, brother?
Okay, the Constitution mentions every local is to have a sergeant at arms. Yes. So security is high on the priority list. And our Ethiopian heritage reminds us that although the holy book and the sword is our symbol, the sword comes before the holy book. Why? Because we have to set our sentries in place so that no one is going to disturb us once we start to read our holy book. So we put our security in place first. So yes, my brother, that is of top priority. and the Constitution gives us the right to set up, like what the Nation of Islam have, a security corporation where you have firearms, clearance to have firearms, and all these things are legal. So we have the right to do all of that, but it has to be done the right way.
Yes, sir, Black Power. The right way, it must be done. So, Brother Eugene, I'm sorry, Brother, both of you can answer this. So, say the brothers and sisters move forward, would this require a what would be the proper strategy, or are there options of, do people need to repatriate? Is there option for dual citizenship? Like, how, as far as, you know, when we travel and actually set up land or set up an abode in Shashamani, what are the logistics towards that regarding our citizenship and passports and things of that nature?
Okay. The Ethiopian World Federation has been given the responsibility by the Ethiopian government to serve as a screening mechanism to screen the individuals who would like to be citizens and then present them to the government, and then the government will rubber stamp our recommendation. That's what we have. We have the documentation and the instruments where we can serve as an immigration department, where we screen our brothers and sisters who intend to go home so that they will have the necessary resources they need once they arrive, and present them to the Ethiopian government, who at that time would just, they wouldn't question it. They would just rubber stamp them and give them their citizenship papers and so on and so forth. So that's Ethiopia. And there are 55 countries in Africa, so I'm not going to speak for all of them, but I will say this. Citizenship is not a problem. I don't see that as a problem. We, the diaspora, only have to make ourselves known. And what are we known for? We are known for different things, different skills and ability. We are coming from the West. So that once we make our impact on the continent, we will get the respect and everything else that goes along with that. And then now we can be one family at home. Yes, those from abroad and those at home living as one. Yes, that is the goal, because we in the West are a little different from our brothers and sisters in Africa. So we're going to have to figure out how this thing going to work.
Yes, sir. Are you familiar with, I heard Queen Mother Moore speaking of some clips from Queen Mother Moore when Garvey was organizing, and she spoke about that they had an organization called the Daughters of Ethiopia, and that they were doing work and setting up schools. Are you familiar with the works of Queen Mother Moore with the working with the Ethiopian Federation?
I must say, no, I'm not.
And okay.
You know, there's so much history to this organization, it's impossible for any one of us to know all of it, you know. But I would love to know more about what you're talking about, yes. And
yes, I
know the Schomburg Library in Harlem is a repository for a lot of the information that is related to the Federation. They have an extensive archive on the Federation.
You said the Schomburg Library?
Yes, yes.
Well, it sounds like we need to take a field trip to Harlem, and to be able to sit at your feet and let you give us this wisdom, and we pull out great minds together. I know we can have Zoom conferences and things of that nature, but it sounds like we're going to have to really get far more in depth, would you guys say, wouldn't you think?
Yes, and we can, because, you know, I am a member of the Ethiopian World Federation, local number one in New York. And then now that organization is always available to have conferences if that is what you need, and legal organization. Yes, you know, we do have the Ethiopian World Federation, and I'm a member of local number one who operates in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow. Yes, sir. Brother Eugene?
Yeah, well, one thing for sure, we know that Harlem has been known, Harlem Black people have known to be very organized people in the African community. So there is a lot that we can conversate about, as well as the know-abouts of getting on code and getting connected. As you see, some of the richest Black people in the United States come right out of Harlem, New York. And so a big up to our brothers and sisters who have been on the front line making Black power, Black economics happen for many years now. And, of course, that constitutes to what we talk about very so often, leveling up, black people leveling up in this society. So, yeah, Brother Pennycook, we appreciate you coming on the show this evening. We do have some other people online who may have a few questions. So if anybody out there who wants to chime in right now, press the number one button. Hopefully we can get Brother Raza Lula in here as well. And so, Brother Cassius, you see anybody in the...
I believe we do have the brother on. Let me check and see if this is Brother Raza Lula. Black Power Brother, is that you, Brother Black Power?
Hello?
Black Power.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Black Power.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, okay. Greetings, everybody. Greetings. One love. Black Power. Power to the people.
Black Power. Is this Brother Ross, correct?
Yes, this is Brother Ross. How you doing, Sister Crystal? How you doing?
We're doing fine. We've been waiting to hear from you, brother. You have the floor.
Okay, all right. Nice to be heard from. Okay. I want to hail up Ross Pennycook over there. I had the honor of working under Brother Pennycook as a director on the International Council of the Ethiopian World Federation for many years, back in 2000 and 2001, during those years, 2002. So I'm very well aware of the program that he's speaking of. How you doing tonight, brother? Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure, my brother. Always love to be with my family. And when we can discuss good news, yeah, it's a joy.
Give thanks. Give thanks. And Sister Crystal had asked a question. How you doing, brother? Eugene, nice to hear from you again. Sister Crystal asked a question about, it sounded like she wants to get involved and wants to know how she can get involved. And so I have organized with the Ethiopian World Federation as a director and as a member of the Philadelphia chapter. And I would say if Brother Pennycook, well, he doesn't have to share. I'm qualified to do it myself. Sister Crystal, if you want to really get involved, and I think you need about 25 constitutions down there wherever you're located, in your city, in your town. And I say 25 constitutions because any 25 group of black people desirous of forming a chapter or a local can do so. You understand what I'm saying? So you can form your local down there. And the benefit of this is organizing and taking advantage of all the things that Brother Pennycook spoke about, that the Constitution has to offer the black peoples of the world. Not only that, it will give you the more 25 members you have, 25, 50, 75, it will give you delegates at the annual Constitution, at the annual convention, pardon me, the annual convention that's to be held. And so that's where change is made.
Is it 25 per city?
25 per block. You understand? Every 25 people can form a local if that's their desire.
Okay.
You understand? You
yes,
got 25
sir.
People in your house, that could be your house local. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, the more... So this is what the Federation is. It's a conglomerate. It's a group of organizations under this banner, under this.
How does it go when you have an organization? Say we got 100 people in our organization, but they're in different cities. How do we mobilize that?
Well, I would say each city can have their own local as long as the 25 people in that city are desirous and they fill out an application for membership into the Federation.
Yes, sir.
Every 25 people can form a local. So if you have 25 people in 25 different cities, that's 25 different locals. If they desire to form a local in their city.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to give up. The only thing, I don't have my constitution in front of me, but they said the only thing that will keep a black person from being active or involved is if their thoughts is contrary to the Constitution. All right. And I don't think
if they counter revolutionary, we wouldn't have them around us anyway.
All right. You know, I respected Brother Pennycook, and I would say this is on point because I love them questions you was asking, Brother Pennycook. And I said this is on point. But listen, I want to we have Brother Pennycook's information, and we can find out how to get copies of this Constitution to every black person who desires it and who wishes to organize and take advantage of this system that was created many years ago in 1936 to organize the black people of the world. So I want to move on to something else because I just came in from Malcolm X Park over here in West Philly, where the today, May 13th, is a very important day in black history, in United States history, and world history. This is the day when the government of Philadelphia organized to annihilate and commit the act of genocide against the Moore family in West Philadelphia 36 years ago today, May 13th, 1985. So I just came in from Malcolm X Park, and I was over there. Whew. And I'm telling you, if you ever listen to Pam Africa speak, you're going to be ready. If you ever listen to Mama Pam Africa speak, she's going to make you stand up straight. Okay, so I got a lot of energy in me right now. And so I want to speak about, if anyone, everyone is familiar with what happened in Philadelphia 36 years ago today.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you briefly, most people should, but you should, for the record, go ahead and state it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, bring people up to date about it, for sure.
Okay, so as a matter of fact, 50 years ago, this is also the 50th anniversary of the MOVE organization, an organization formed right here in Philadelphia whose organizer's name was John Africa. And John Africa taught freedom. He taught justice. He taught equality for all, not just people, but even for the animals. John Africa protested against the zoo because when those people went to the zoo and looked at the animals and looked at the birds and all those creatures in the zoo that were being held there illegally against their will, he protested against that because that could easily be one of us, and it has been one of us. He taught about clean water. He taught about healthy living. He taught about, that's what John Africa taught, and that's what the MOVE organization taught, a revolutionary organization.
And they wore dreadlocks.
And they wore locks. They wore dreadlocks. That's right. And so right here in Philly, so the government of Philadelphia systematically attacked and tried to annihilate this organization. In 1977, they attacked.
Like Black Wall Street all over again. Attack from the air. Bomb you.
Okay, I'm going to get to that. In 1988, their house was attacked. The whole city of Philadelphia police department, fire department, from the mayor on down, organized to annihilate this family. Attacked in 1978. A police officer was killed in 1978 by friendly fire. But nine MOVE members, after the whole thing was finished, went to jail, sentenced with this officer's death, sentenced for 30 to 100 years. They called the MOVE Nine. I had the pleasure and the honor of meeting Sister Jen today, who was one of the
MOVE
Nine.
They were bombed.
She got out.
They were bombed.
I'm talking about 1978, Sister.
Okay.
This, I'm bringing up the MOVE family now, the MOVE history, which is 50 years old this year. Okay, so I went from 77 to 78. Now, in 1985, because the house where they lived in 78 was destroyed been bulldozed. They had a new house over in West Philly, and the systematic attack still came. And it came to a bombing where the mayor and the commissioner of police and the whole city council, city hall, bombed the house. They dropped a napalm bomb on top of the house in West Philadelphia, which ultimately killed 11 people, women and children and men, black people. The community of 60-plus homes was burned down. You're talking about the Black Wall Street. These things, let me tell you, I saw Brother Mike Africa Jr. talk tonight, young brother, and he's friends with Ashanti Shakur's daughter, very good friends with her. And he was telling a story about what she told him, how he asked her how was life in Cuba, what was crime like in Cuba. And she told him the only crime that she witnessed in 46 years was a purse being snatched, and the perpetrator did not get a half a block away before the community beat him down. And this was what crime is. And a small island like Cuba, who's managed to withstand in the backyard of this country, embargoes, the sanctions, the systematic attack against a system, that's how they treat crime. So how can we, in this 336 million people, country, this population of 336 million people, how can we allow a black community to be bombed, a black family to be bombed, black women and children to be bombed? And so this is what's going on. This is what we're dealing with in Philly right now. This is what we're dealing with in Philly. This is what we're going to be dealing with until we have equal rights and justice and equality for all. And so today is the day, and May 13th, and you know what? I'm glad everybody's silent. I want to take a little moment of silence just for May 13th, 1985. I'm going to take about 20 seconds. Is that all right?
By all means, yes, sir.
Go ahead, brother. One love.
All right. One love. So we're going to take that time right now. Thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Power to the people. Thanks for letting me come on tonight.
Power to the people.
Thanks for letting me come on. Thanks, Brother Penny Cook, for coming on. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Brother Eugene, Brother Crystal, Brother Malik.
Yes, you are, brother.
We thank you for the storm. Oh, let me tell y'all something else. I got some papers to send y'all. So my mother, when she rests in peace, she was a revolutionary, if there ever was a revolutionary. When I moved out as a young man, when I was 20, 21 years old, she put all my things together, pictures, all my school records from when I was in first grade, you know, all that kind of stuff that moms keep for your life when you know. She gave me all of this stuff when I moved out. And in these contents was a crate of newspaper. Going back to 1982, 83, 84, all of the move stuff, because she was a move supporter. And, you know, we went where moms went. So we grew up in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s in this struggle in Philly. You were either in the struggle or not in the struggle in Philly. We was in the struggle. So I have this crate of newspapers. She said, I'm giving these papers. It's for all the move stuff, you know? And this crate followed me around for the past 30 years. It's been in my garage. And, you know, sometime in the winter, the rats would come in and start to eat the papers, you know? But the box was so thick, they could just get the top piece. So I'm saying, what am I going to do with these papers? What am I going to do with them? So I put them in a big green bag, and I said, okay, let me try and keep the rats off of them. Then Mike Africa Jr., I don't know if anybody saw last year, he did a documentary on The Move on HBO. If you haven't, you got to go and look for it and check it out. And I said, wow, I'll get Mike these papers. Mike can use these papers. So I took them and put them in my trunk, and they've been in my trunk for months. I've been meaning to go over to The Move house to drop them off to Mike. Anyway, today, I know what the day is. You're in Philly, you know what the day is. And I'm going to West Philly to handle some business. But the way the GPS, my mind, took me, I stopped right in front of The Move house. I said, well, man, let me stop and go and knock on this door. So I stopped at The Move house, and as I stand at the gate, Move sister comes out. So I greet her, on The Move, sister. On The Move, brother. I said, is Auntie Pam around? That's Pam Africa, Mama Africa. No, she's not here. Sister so-and-so is here. I ain't going to drop too many names. You know what I mean? Sister so-and-so is here. I said, oh, call her. Tell her it's me. So she called on the intercom, and she came out. She said, hey, what's up, brother? I said, man, I got all these papers. Look at these papers. So I sit down in the news yard, and I start to go through the crate. And I'm seeing these papers, May 15th, 1985. That's 2 days after May 13th, 1985. All kind of papers. I see this paper, the Black Panther paper, 1992. I said, oh, Lord, I got to call Sister Crystal and I'm up tonight.
Black power.
Quote from Brother Hilly, you can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution.
You know it.
You know them papers. You remember them papers.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's old Black Panther paid newspapers.
Yes, sir.
He said 1992.
1992.
Yeah, that's history right there,
ago?
Brother.
That was like, what, 29, 30 years ago, wasn't it?
The first time I saw that newspaper, it was in 1993, and that's the first time I met actually with Black Panthers. I came up to Harlem. I came up to New York to Safia Bukhari's house. We came up there. We were fighting to stop the execution of Shaka Sankofa, Shaka Sankofa. And Sister Safisha, rest in peace, rest in power. They had those newspapers. Wow.
Oh,
Black
man.
Power.
I said, listen, sister. I said, you know, my mom gave me these papers for a reason. It's the first time I had ever gone through them. And it brought back so many memories because I remember collecting all these papers. And I remember her collecting them. And I'm going through the papers, and I'm, like, looking at the dates and looking at the articles. I said, sister, I said, you know my mother gave me these. You know, he said, listen, bro, you take that thing right back with you. And when you organize it, you can bring it back. Because she knows my mom, too. She knew my mom. She said, and I'm saying, man, I can't get these papers up.
Nah, brother, that's some history you got right there. You need to hold on.
That's
to that.
A family heirloom. That's a family heirloom.
Yeah. That's all right.
I couldn't give them up.
Seal them up tight. Seal them up tight and keep them right.
Hey, that's
listen,
a jewel.
Look, I said, listen, y'all don't need these to tell y'all history. I said, you lived it.
Yeah, well, the Black Panthers definitely have had their share of Babylon as well and have shared similar experience, such as the Move members. And you're talking about way before the Move situation is taking place. But, yeah, we're a new breed leader generation, and we are here to make sure that our community is uplifted. And, you know, we got a lot of negative things going on, but at the same time, we got a lot of positive things that have not been heard of yet. And so that's what we here as a nation of people to make sure that this information is simulated to get the correct response that we need. We're not going to be able to save everybody, But there is enough brothers and sisters in and around the world who know what the code is, and definitely we're moving towards a brighter future, not just for ourselves, but for future generations to come. And thank you, Brother Razalula. We appreciate you coming in and sharing that information from Philly. And we'll yield the floor back to Brother Cassius Sadiq to see if any other people are on the mic, want to jump on the mic right quick to answer any questions for you yourself or either Brother Penny Cook.
Thank you, Razalula. And I got to say, in this digital age, Brother Roz, in this digital age, where they're getting away from printing things, you are sitting on the treasure. You know what I'm saying? You need to preserve that treasure. You know, everything is digital. So to be able to book, some of these books, I've been having to buy books for, I literally bought a paperback book for $95 because I had to have it. Books are becoming a rarity, a thing of the past. So definitely those newspapers, that's a piece of history. You preserve those. That's the Black heritage. Black Power, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Black appreciate
power.
That field
power
report from Philly. Black Power. Brother Catcher, who do we have on the line? Gene said.
Black Power, Black Power. Yes, yes. This is a beautiful broadcast, family. I want to thank our guests, both of them, Brother Eugene Talker, Brother Ronald Pennycook. You know, and it's such a powerful broadcast as we continue to discuss. And this, you know, the topic is right on point, the legacy of African nationhood and our humanitarian efforts to regain our independence. So much information given here tonight. Last night we heard from New Black Panther Party member up in Portland, Oregon, our chairman up there, Brother Leo, you know, and again, we have Brother Leo on the line tonight. You know, the brother has been working very tirelessly with his project in the country of Liberia. The brother builds, has a great deal for, Pan-Africanism. And I invited the brother specifically on tonight, you know, to give his official report on the great things that he's doing. So I want to welcome you, Brother Leo. Can you hear me, comrade?
Black Power, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Wow.
Yes, sir. We
can hear from Ethiopia to Liberia. From Ethiopia to Liberia.
Yeah.
From East Africa to West Africa. Black Power.
Right.
Go ahead, Brother Leo.
Black Power, Sister Crystal. Black Power, Brother Katsib. Black Power, Brother Eugene Taffer. You know, thank you for letting me be on here. Liberia was also not conquered by colonialism. They dropped off the slaves there, but they weren't colonized by Liberia. And that's where my family has its farm and land, and we're trying to develop it right now. We recently put in, so we got like 400 acres. We recently put in for cocoa, for chocolate, and we put in for palm oil as well. And then next is the pyrethrum, which is the insecticide inside the mosquito spray killers. That insecticide, we're going to grow that plant there. And the cocoa takes about 4 to 5 years to mature. The palm oil is about 1 to 3 years to mature. Some of the issues I have faced doing this so far is like the talking over the phone, getting a network coverage, because a lot of areas don't have clear networks over there. So once you get service with them, you can be on the phone with them, and then they'll just cut off because it's not a reliable power grid. And so that's some of the issues I've had. Like, the roads aren't that great. So, you know, when they travel, because my land is about 600 miles from the capital city of Monrovia. So the land is actually near Ivory Coast, which Ivory Coast and Liberia border. If you're familiar with the Ivory Coast and Liberia, it's near the coast, Atlantic coast near Ghana, where they had the slaves were taken from. And it used to be called the Gold Coast, or the Pepper Coast, because it was known for all its peppers and all its goods that we grew there as well. So a lot of history in that region. But, that's what we're doing right there. We are actually in the process of growing it. We started planting cocoa. We got like 2-3 acres up and going right now, but we're trying to grow to the next level. The next step would be to get a truck to haul all the goods and services to get it processed and shipped out and sold. So that's what we are now. So there's still an early process, but, you know, it's an everyday grind. So
this natural pet, tell us about this pet. So this is a natural pesticide that you're growing that could help with the agriculture. I'm very interested in it because that's why I asked the brother in Shashamani about the agriculture aspect, because any people, any nation is not only defense, but you have to be able to feed the people. I love the fact of them saying that we needed to have a garden next to the home. But agriculture in and of itself is a major industry. But that the plant that you were talking about, can you elaborate a little bit more on that? And it's maturity time.
Yeah, so I know people are familiar with like Raid, the spray that kills the roaches and the ants and that. The ingredient that's used is made from a plant. It's like a daisy plant, and they extract the oil from there, and they use that to kill insecticides. And they've been using that for centuries as a natural insecticide because it's not as harmful on the planet as other insecticides would be. So you just pretty much, you grow the daisy flower, and it grows. You can have 3 or 4 harvests in a year, so it grows a lot quicker than the cocoa or the palm oil. But it could be used for lice, dog shampoo, candles. There's different uses for that pyrethrum, but the main use is, you know, to keep the bugs and whatnot away, which is, you know, great business in Africa where they may not have as much access to that as we do here.
So it's an organic pesticide?
Yeah, it's
is it considered organic?
To be honest. Yes, it's organic. It grows naturally. In tropical
and can
areas,
it be grown alongside other plants? Like, say we're growing hemp, for example. Can it be co-planted with hemp and be a natural deterrent without having to do extra processing to it?
Yes. Yeah, it can grow with other crops as well and not hurt it because it is an organic, natural crop like that. It's not invasive. It only gets about 4 feet tall at the most. But you could plant most. You can plant and get a crop back within 3 to 6 months. So it's not, it's pretty effective.
So will you be importing and exporting it or growing it for Liberia, or will you be also importing it here and around the diaspora as well?
Yeah, so actually the company I want to partner with, is in Kenya, and they have been exporting to London and Europe and Africa, parts of Africa as well, and I want to do a similar business plan, selling it to Liberia and to America as well. Everyone needs that mosquito insecticide. The reason why we went with mosquito insecticide was because the spread of malaria, the spread of diseases, and caused by a lot of mosquitoes. Like, mosquitoes is the number one killer of all animals, believe it or not, by spreading diseases, causing infections and whatnot. So to decrease that, we wanted to try with this pyrethrum to spread it. So we want to just, not just in Africa, but yeah, we want to give it to Brazil and also the diaspora in America and, you know, within our community.
And so,
yeah,
so
sure.
Tying back to brother with Shashamani, in our gardens, we should have those in our gardens. Is that something that is already in place in Shashamani, I wonder?
No, the garden, you know, is like each family would design their own garden. You know, it's like you're free to design your own garden.
Yes, sir. And that would be a powerful move to have Brother Leo provide the plant to keep the pests away that they're growing in Liberia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for sure, sister. And you're talking about Brother Leo growing the product itself and to add that extra value, you know, obtaining machinery such as extraction system, as well as putting a aerospray cannery system in place, that could definitely add more profitability as well as export opportunity for finished and ready-made product. You know, we've been talking about the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution, and it is definitely here in this time. And as we see, we have many brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora who is beginning to take advantage of some of the economic and investment opportunities all over Mother Africa right now. And so, yeah, we highly promote that. Brother Leo, tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you may have run into as a part of you getting established or getting your operation set up there. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah. excuse me. So besides like the cell service, communicating with the locals, I know a lot of the locals, like the locals in Monrovia, have different views than like the locals, what they call the bush area, and their views are completely different. So when I first talked to my brother, who's like my eyes and ears over there, I told him I wanted to do a business back there. They're kind of skeptical because of the history of Liberia, you know, the colonizer coming there and dropping them off and not really doing much for them, stealing their land and taking their goods and services. So they're real skeptical about any businesses being done there. But when I told them about the agriculture, we're not going to be building things on there, they seem to be more relaxed. They seem to be more open for that. So a challenge would be, like, knowing the area, because I haven't been there myself, but my brothers, like my eyes and ears, my brother, my cousins, I got a lot of family over there, so they're my eyes and ears. But, yeah, just communicating with them. And like I said, like the service is like you can be on the phone with them, and before you know it, it's like you lose service. You can have a good conversation, and the service goes in and out. And sending money, that's also another issue. It's a lot easier to send money to a European country than it is a West African country. We got stopped by several banks and had to go through a big process to make sure it wasn't fraudulent. And they wanted to actually, you couldn't, during the Trump administration, you were not able to wire transfer money to Nigeria, because the Trump administration put a hold on West Africa countries. So now that that administration is gone, the transferring of money to Western countries is a lot easier. But that still was an issue that I had to struggle with when I first started doing this a few months ago.
Wow, wow. Well, we definitely appreciate that insightful information. So we know that as you're investing in many of the nations over in Africa, you want to do your due diligence. We've talked about that on previous programs of getting engaged and how you get connected overseas, the actual route that you can take to get yourself acclimated with what's happening on the ground. Brother Leo, thank you very much. Also, we want to give a big shout out to our brothers and sisters in Liberia. They've been doing some extraordinary things as far as the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. You see a lot of construction going up and taking place on the mother continent. And for those of you who are listening to us right now, you may want to visit Liberia. Liberia is a very beautiful tropical place to go visit. It has blue waters. You guys have blue waters the same as Sierra Leone. Am I correct, Brother Leo?
Yes, the blue waters. If you check my Facebook, you see, like, these surfers. I know in America it's like a white boy thing, but they surf over there in Liberia, too. The waters are clear. They have a lot of surfers over there, and that's like a hobby for them. You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's what's up. We do it, too. We do all that fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I got a teammate of mine.
You know what I'm saying? You go back in the times of our early day, pre-colonial times in Hawaii, you know, the Polynesian brothers and
absolutely
sisters already surfing. You know what I'm saying?
You already know. You already
well, we know.
Know
the white boys didn't. We know good and well the white boys didn't get surfing out of Europe because Europe ain't got no beautiful beaches.
Fact.
You know, they learned everything they got from us.
It was too cold to get in that water. It was too cold to get in there.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
this is so powerful.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
I said they call polar bears, man. They do that skinny dipping in that cold water, man. They ain't scared of no cold water. They
yeah,
call
they
polar
gotta
bears.
Take a good shot of that cold vodka and jump right on up in there. That's what they do.
Jump right in that cold water like it was hot water.
Yeah, well, big up, brothers and sisters. Well, this is your Thursday night New Black Panther, New African Network business broadcast.
Can I give a shout out?
Brother Eugene Crawford, along with Sister Crystal Muhammad, Brother Cassius Sadiq, and we have Brother Raza Lula, Brother Leo Muhammad. We also have Brother Ron Penny Cook, who has come on from the Ethiopian World Ethiopian Federation, who have come in to share a little information to the black community about the Shashamani project there. There are many projects that are taking place all throughout Africa and the Ivory Coast right now. They got a really big railroad construction projects that are going on, $1.7 billion. The country, Nigeria and Morocco, just signed a joint venture trade agreement with each other. They're going to be building a pipeline that's going to be stretching all the way from Nigeria up to Morocco. So big up to that. And also Nigeria has also been petitioning to Germany to release many of its African artifacts that were stolen during pre-colonial times, where the invaders came in and squashed many of the tribes and stole a lot of ancient artifacts. And so they have went to court on the back of this. So a big shout out to our brothers and sisters in the Benin, Nigeria, and also Cameroonian area, who are beginning to get our ancestors' artifacts back. Other than that, man, yeah, this has been a great show. I want to give a big up to the New African Network TV show, Brother Imani, based out of Ethiopia. Brother has been doing some extraordinary things with his educational program, teaching key Swahili to all the African nations so that we can get back to having African languages of our own. Also, we want to give a big up to Sister Dr. Eric Hannah Turumbero-Kwa of the Afro-Diaspora Development Institute. We're highly engaged and very connected to you. Keep up the good work, sister, and we are definitely engaged and in touch of the movement and what you're putting forth. I've also been in touch with Brother Julius Malema and his right-hand man, Tetsi Seseko, of the South African Economic Freedom Fighters Organization of South Africa, and they told me to relay this message to our brothers and sisters here in the United States. They're saying, you know, South Africa is going through a big economic crunch at the time, and since our brothers and sisters here in the United States have a pretty healthy income, he wants us to come on down to Cape Town, South Africa, and start buying up some of that Zulu land back so we can get it back into the hands of black people. Word up. So we give him a big black power to that one. Economics is black power. And a big shout out to our South African freedom fighter brothers and sisters down there. We'll be connecting with you soon. Other than that, I'll yield the floor back to Brother Cassius Sadiq and Sister Crystal Muhammad for any last words. I know we're getting into the late part of the show, and so let's do it.
Wow. I got to say, each one of you that have come on this show, you could have did a whole 2 hours on your own. I mean, this information that everybody has dropped has been some jewels, you know, and I want everybody to know that this is not entertainment. These are actual opportunities. Children of Marcus Garvey, Pan-Africanists, we have the opportunity to make Marcus Garvey's vision a reality. All we have to do is get on the bird. All we need to do is sit down with Brother Ronald and Brother Ross and come again and look at the facts that we have before us and put our African minds together, our new African minds together, and put our feet on the ground, put our pennies together and get on the ground. Let's start off. We tell you every night, if you don't have your passport, get your passport now. We're going to be making a call very soon to hit the ground in Africa, and it's looking like we're going to be able to do a tour. We'll get an opportunity to check out from Liberia all the way to Ethiopia, crisscrossing down into South Africa. You heard it here tonight. There's opportunity. We don't have to stay on this plantation. We've only lived in this one plantation nation and have been subject to all kind of inhumane conditions, and it's not getting any better. So we need to be making our business about getting back to the motherland. Black Power, mbpp.org is how you can reach us, join us, and support us. Send a financial contribution on Cash App to $BlackPowerDollar. And if you want to get any information from anyone that you heard from tonight, hit us up at mbpp.org, send a system email, and we'll get right back to you. Black Power, thank you, Leo, Eugene, Catsup, Ron, and Ross, and everyone who's listening. Black Power, Brother Catsup, take us out, young gun.
Black Power, Black Power, man. This has been a powerful broadcast. I want to thank all of our guests. And as has been mentioned many times, you know, we come in with a very powerful intro. The body of our broadcast always shake the earth and electrify our political education. And in his name, our great ancestor, Marcus Garvey, has been said too many times on this broadcast not to take it out with the honorable words of our great ancestor, Marcus Mosiah Garvey. That is how we will end this broadcast, but we will be back tomorrow and the next day and the next day. New Black Panther Party Radio, or the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Crystal Muhammad. We send a shout-out to the New Black Panther Party National Central Committee, all of the members of the New Black Panther Party locally, regionally, internationally. We love you, comrades, black family, black power, black love, freedom of death. It's New Black Panther Party Radio, Black Power family. Thank you, everybody.
When I am dead, wrap the mantle of the red, the black, and the green around me, for in the new life I shall rise up with God's strength and blessing to lead the millions up the heights and the triumph that you well know. Look for me in a world when there is storm. Look for me all around you, for with God's grace, I shall come back with countless millions of black men and women who have died in America, those who have died in the West Indies, and those who have died in Africa, to aid you in the fight for liberty, freedom, and life. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. They gave leadership to our foreparents, and that leadership made them slaves. But we have decided to find a leadership of our own to make ourselves free men. Our great scholars have passed through the colleges and universities, have thrown away the blessed record. Babylon did it. Assyria did it. France under Napoleon did it. Germany under Prince von Bismarck did it. England under America under George Washington did it. Africa with 400 million black people can do it. If you cannot do it, if you are not prepared to do it, then you will die. You race of cowards. You race of imbeciles. You race of good-for-nothing. If you cannot do what other men have done, what other nations have done, what other races have done, then you have better die. Can we do it? We can do it. We shall do it. We have prayed to God for vision and for leadership. And he has given us our universal vision. A vision that will not limit our possibilities to America. A vision that will not limit our possibilities to the West Indies. But a vision that said it must be a free and redeemed Africa. Christ the crucified. Christ the despised. We appeal to you for help, for succor, for leadership. When you endeavor to carry your burden up the heights of Calvary. When white men scorned you. When white men scorned you, when white men spat upon you, when white men pierced your side out of which blood and water gushed forth, it was a black man in the name of Simon the Syrian who took your cross and bore it up the heights of Calvary. And now that we are bearing our burden of being so heavy, we just ask that you just help us on up the heights. Oh, yes, the cause is grand, the cause is glorious. Surely we shall not turn back. Oh, sail on, sail on, sail on, almighty ship of state, sail on. Sail on until the flag of the red, the black, and the green is perched upon the hills of Africa. Because the time has come for the black man to forget his hero worship of other races and to create and emulate heroes of his own. We must